Track two. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 16th of May, 2018. I'm Sue.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Phil.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. And now, Margaret will start us off with the news.
A Black Country hospital will allow NHS workers to fill empty shifts through a new app as part of a trial aiming to reduce reliance on spending on agency staff. Thousands of doctors, midwives and nurses will be able to sign up to work extra hours at Russell Hall Hospital in Dudley using the technology, and some could be paid for their time within just 24 hours. The scheme, funded by the Department for Health and Social Care, helps to improve flexibility working for NHS staff and help hospitals respond better to increased demand. The Dudley Group NHS Trust, which runs Russell Hall, is among several trusts to have been selected for the trial. Hospital trusts in the Black Country have spent millions of pounds on drafting in temporary workers in recent years to help them cope with increased demand and staff sicknesses. It was revealed last week that a locum doctor was paid almost £200 an hour for a week's work at Russell's Hall, and health chiefs have been keen to cut spending on agency workers. The Trust said the move would help to fill the shifts and benefit staff and patients. Chief Executive Diane Wake said, "We are thrilled to be chosen as one of the first pilot trusts working to improve the way we engage with temporary staff and encourage people to join our bank. Part of the pilot will review the web-based app that allows our employees working on the bank to access real-time information about shifts available, as well as developing a quicker payment route for staff. Recruitment and retention of our staff is our top priority for us to enable us to have a stable workforce delivering first-class patient care." Health Minister Stephen Barclay said, "This innovative retrial is a win-win for everyone. It helps staff provide more consistent care for patients and gives them the flexibility if they want in choosing their working patterns. It will also help the NHS to reduce its reliance on expensive agency staff. More than 100,000 in healthcare professionals are currently signed up to banks, the central system run by the Trust, which allow employees to sign up for extra shifts on the top of normal hours. The new trial will run through the banks at 15 trusts, which means enabling staff to use apps on their phones to receive notifications when shifts become available and sign up to work instantly. Those who work extra shifts will be offered the option of being paid weekly, and some trusts will allow staff to opt out of pension arrangements so they can be paid more for additional work."
After years of delays and frustration, work is finally expected to start on the multi-million pound visitor centre at Hagley Hall. Contractors were expected to begin work in 2015, but planning approval was required for surrounding roads following concerns from Worcestershire Highways. Plans for an entrance stroke exit onto the A456 Hagley Causeway are now in the final stages of consultation, and pending agreement, it means work will begin in the coming months. The 12th Viscount Cobham, Chris Littleton, who runs the hall, said, "It has been a long process. We have been through a huge consultation for the past 3 years. We got planning permission 2 years ago, but we had to go through Worcestershire Highways for the roads. We have just about agreed everything we have needed to. We are now finalising plans to start on the foundation work for the centre itself. The work should start in the next few months, and we are hoping by autumn or early spring next year it will be done. It is hoped the new visitor centre in the stately home's stunning ground could turn Hagley Park into a major UK tourist attraction. Lord Cobham said there has been no change to the initial plans from 3 years ago, which also included a restaurant, gift shop, study rooms and a three-bedroom ranger's house, as well as a children's play area and parking for up to 180 vehicles, including coaches. He added, "I am desperately keen to get the public into the park. The gardens are stunning with the bluebells flowering at the moment. I am very keen that it gets open for everybody to enjoy."
Visually impaired 10-pin bowlers from the Beacon Centre were victorious when they took on a sighted team wearing blacked-out goggles. The Sedgley Sight Loss Charity's team captain, Ranjit Bupre, wanted staff at 10-pin Dudley in Castle Gateway and the Beacon Centre to experience what it would be like to play blind, being guided by a sighted volunteer who directed individuals with verbal commands. They rose to the challenge and were happy to play wearing blacked-out goggles to simulate being blind during a friendly game to raise awareness of visually impaired bowling last week. Ranjit, age 53, said, "I have been playing for the past 4 years, and throughout this time, 10-pin Dudley has always supported us by donating free game time for charity events. Without their kind backing, we could not have highlighted the importance of the sport and life beyond sight loss." Arwin Jones, CEO at the Beacon Centre, added, "This was an amazing experience. As someone who does not live with a visual impairment, I felt very vulnerable when I put on the goggles. However, with some guidance and instructions, I started to get into the swing of things and gradually built up my confidence. Sports such as 10-pin bowling provide a vital social outlet for many people and helps encourage inclusivity in diversity in sport." Now, to learn more about visually impaired sports or join the Beacon Centre 10-pin bowling team, please visit beaconvision.org or call on 01902 880 111.
Work on Wolverhampton's new outdoor market could be stalled for several weeks following the discovery of an ancient human remains. Wolverhampton Council has had to apply for an exhumation licence from the Ministry of Justice before the remains can be properly recovered. Investigations are also ongoing to see whether the area could be home to a wider burial ground. Bosses said work would continue where possible, elsewhere on the site, without disturbing the area. It is believed the remains could date back to the 18th century, when a chapel stood on the site. The new market in Cleveland Street, which will see traders move from Market Square, is due to open in July. A council spokesman said that the date still stood, despite the discovery of the remains, but that the picture would become clearer in the coming weeks. The discovery on Thursday came just hours after the official opening date for the market was revealed. It has threatened to cause more delays to the project. The market was originally due to launch during the spring, but issues with ground conditions put the opening back. Council spokesman said parts of the ancient human remains discovered yesterday at the new city centre market in Wolverhampton have been sent to Dundee University for further tests. The council is also applying to the Ministry of Justice for the appropriate exhumation licence, which could take several weeks to be granted. Where possible, market work will continue elsewhere on the site without disturbing the ground where the remains rest. We know an 18th century chapel once stood where the new market is being developed, and it is likely the remains are associated with it. At this stage, we are only aware of one set of human remains, and we cannot find any records of a burial site at that location. However, we are working closely with the archaeological experts to establish if this is an isolated set of remains or if they form part of a wider burial ground. Traders are being relocated to the site of the former Netto shop. The market is moving to free up Market Square, which will be part of the £55 million West Side retail and leisure development.
Controversial plans for an aggregate recycling centre in Stourbridge remain in limbo after councillors adjourned a meeting of Dudley's Development Control Committee this week. Objectors to the proposal on the old Helix International site on Engine Lane will now have to wait until the committee's next meeting to find out if it will go ahead. The scheme would use the western part of the former Helix site for the recycling of aggregate material from an unauthorised site in Bot Lane, which has no planning permission, which is the subject of a council enforcement notice. But the plan has alarmed some local residents who fear the centre, which would break up bricks, concrete and rubble left over from construction work, will hit house prices and cause noise and dust nuisance. Council planning officers have recommended councillors on the committee approve the application subject to conditions which include minimising dust emissions from the site, limiting the hours deliveries could be made and restricting the hours when machinery could be used. The application, along with other agenda items, will now be discussed on May the 29th.
Cyclists of all abilities saddled up for a tremendous La Tour de Bilston, an all-day static cycling event, to help raise money for the refurbishment of the town's war memorial. Organised by WV Active Bilston, the local Rotary Club, and Discover Bilston, the event today saw various eager participants hop on and off stationary exercise bikes after a 30-minute go each. The aim was to constantly keep the bikes pedalling for a constant 7.5 hours from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Cycling legend Hugh Porter MBE popped in to show his support for the fundraiser, which he said was collecting money for a very, very worthy cause. He was the final cyclist of the day to take part, along with the Deputy Lord Lieutenant of the West Midlands, Sylvia Parkin. Mr. Porter said, "It looked like a very good day for everyone. Many people on the day said it was a tremendous success and it delivered what it set out to do, which was to raise quite a few bob for a very, very worthy cause. That's why I came to show my support. To help a cause that remembers those brave lads who fought for us in the war and ensure they are not forgotten." The event was also supported by the Deputy Mayor of Wolverhampton, Councillor Philip Page, plus the city's three MPs, Pat McFadden, Emma Reynolds and Eleanor Smith, who all cycled during the event. Express and Star political reporter Pete Madersley and Investigations reporter Alex Ross also played their part, each donating 30 minutes of their time for the cause. Bob Stultz, president of the Rotary Club of Bilston and Wolverhampton West, said, "The Rotary Club is part of Bilston Remembers Community Group, which has been working to commemorate the centenary of the First World War for the last 4 years. At the heart of our plan is the costly refurbishment of the war memorial in Bilston, which has suffered wear and tear from weather over the years. La Tour de Bilston is a fantastic way for us to raise money towards this." Dr. Bike also held a repair workshop at the event so locals with broken bicycles could bring them along and have them fixed or checked over for free. The aim was to raise about £5,000. Donations were made on the day and each cyclist has sponsors to raise money. Visit wvactive.com/Tour de Bilston, all one word, .ASPX, to make a donation towards the memorial.
Families visiting Dudley's Borough Parks this summer can relax in the sunshine to the sound of music. Himley Park, Mary Stevens Park in Stourbridge, and Stevens Park in Quarry Bank will be hosting a series of brass and ukulele band concerts in June and July. All of the open-air concerts are free and aim to encourage people to use the parks over the summer months. Sets for the summer at Stevens Park include Black Country String Band on June the 10th, Cleobury Mortimer Concert Brass on July the 1st, and Black Country Brass Band on August the 12th. At Mary Stevens Park, there will be three performances. These are AD Concert Band on July the 15th, Maddie Stimson Trio on July the 29th, and Jazz on Tap on September the 2nd. Himley Hall and Park will be hosting five concerts, including Alverley Village Band on June the 3rd, Black Country Brass Band on June the 24th, BJ Concert Band on July the 22nd, AD Concert Band on August the 5th, and Out of the Blue Big Band on August the 26th. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of Dudley Council, said, "These concerts are always really popular and add an extra dimension to a day out in one of our parks. Families are welcome, and it's a great way to make the most of a summer's day with a stroll, a picnic and a concert. The free concerts will all run from 2:30pm to 5:30pm, but visitors should note that car parking charges apply at Himley."
What has a feline face, a bear-like body, a tail like a monkey and smells of popcorn? It's a binturong. The exciting new species at Dudley Zoo. Elliot, the one-year-old binturong, also known as a bear cat, has arrived in Dudley from Olomouc Zoo in the Czech Republic and has moved into an impressive new £25,000 abode, the 4.5-metre-high impressive structure, built by the zoo's maintenance team and keepers. It includes glass viewing areas, a climbing frame, and two old whiskey barrels which were kindly donated to the zoo by Eric Jenkins from the Whitford Group in Bromsgrove. Part of a barrel is suspended in the outdoor section of Elliot's enclosure and the other barrel has been embedded into a false tree trunk as a binturong bed. The indoor tree was created by keepers and decorated by amateur artist Colin Reddle, the dad of lower primates keeper Jayed. Zoo Director Derek Grove said, "The binturong is an interesting addition to our exotic collection and will hopefully prove fascinating to our visitors too. We are also thrilled with the enclosure, which has a large glass area allowing people to get great views." The binturong, an arboreal species from South and Southeast Asia, has scent glands under its tail which it uses to mark out branches and foliage in its territory. But to humans, it smells like buttered popcorn. Binturongs are excellent climbers and can sleep high in tree branches. They curl up with their heads tucked under their prehensile tails, which act like another limb to anchor the animals around a branch.
Wolverhampton has launched a shock bid to become a new home for Channel 4. A city MP is behind a formal application to the broadcaster, which wants to establish three new creative hubs outside London as part of its For All the UK strategy. The Black Country had failed to make the shortlist for the region's official bids under the West Midlands Combined Authority, that's the WMCA, with Mayor Andy Street putting forward Birmingham and Coventry. But it has emerged that a pitch was submitted on behalf of Wolverhampton before last week's deadline, with a bid focusing on the region's diversity, creativity, energy and talented young people. Wolverhampton was first mooted as a potential home for Channel 4 last August, when the then Chief Whip and current Defence Secretary, South Staffordshire MP Gavin Williamson, urged the city to be bold and ambitious in making a bid. He said today, "Wolverhampton would be an ideal base for Channel 4. The city is very much on the up and it would be very nice to build on that success with a world-leading brand. Channel 4 needs to reflect the nation it serves and it would be good to have a strong media presence in Wolverhampton." Labour MPs Emma Reynolds, Pat McFadden, Adrian Bailey, Ian Austin and Valerie Vaz have all backed a Black Country move, which has been spearheaded by Wolverhampton's South West MP Eleanor Smith. Ms Smith said, the bid was about providing opportunities and a platform for the talent in this region, adding that 80% of the students at the University of Wolverhampton were from the local area. We have all this wonderful talent in the creative and media fields and they are committed to the region, Ms Smith said. A media investor like Channel 4 could benefit from all this loyalty, this untapped resource, this energy and will to succeed. Wolverhampton North East MP Ms Reynolds said, Wolverhampton would be a fantastic place for one of Channel 4's new regional hubs. It would be a perfect fit given the young and talented local population and I hope very much that we will be successful in our bid. The city faces a possible weakness in meeting Channel 4's eligibility criteria for a hub as it has no existing digital production community. Regions will be shortlisted by the end of the month.
A Halesowen resident is demanding action to tackle a spate of fly tipping on greenbelt land near her home. Fox Scout Lane has been used to dump rubbish on a regular basis, with drug waste, tyres, oil drums, paint pots and household rubbish all left abandoned. Marie Drew, along the Cradley and Wooler Scout councillor Richard Bodie, is calling on Dudley Council to catch the culprits. Marie, who lives on nearby Havergill Walk, said, on a weekly basis, we are getting rubbish dumped here. We have even had rubbish dumped in the middle of the lane. It just makes me angry. The green belt is so beautiful. It's all beautiful woodland. And then there's that. It's terrible. Councillor Bodie said, it's happening all the time. Without a deterrent, it will keep on happening. If you don't do anything, it won't go away. If they thought they might get caught, then they would not do it. He says the borough does not have adequate waste disposal facilities. The Household Waste Recycling Centre in Birmingham Street, Stourbridge, serves the whole of the Dudley Borough, although residents in the north of the borough can use Wolverhampton's Anchor Lane Centre. He suggested that, as the tip closed at 4pm 6 days a week, it was preventing workers from disposing of their rubbish. He said the only time they have to go is on the weekend and join massive queues. That makes no sense. That will encourage residents to tip. Only one tip to serve 325,000 residents. Something is not right. Councillor Bodie called for CCTV to be introduced and suggested a scheme where drivers who capture evidence of people fly tipping on their dash cam were given a reward. He said, we can get bad driving people throwing litter out of their cars. People up to no good. That's how we cut down on crime. Fly tippers have recently struck in Lutley Lane, Walsall Grove Lane and Sheila Road in Halesowen. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of Dudley Council, said, fly tippers not only blight our borough, but they also leave the taxpayer footing the bill. Something that continually frustrates us. We work hard to make sure these people are caught and prosecuted, but ultimately we rely on people being the eyes and ears of their communities and reporting issues to us. We have a limited amount of CCTV equipment which can yield good results when targeting specific areas. And this is something we can certainly look at this location. By applying to the courts with the necessary evidence to back it up. People can report problems to us in a number of ways, including online at www.dudley.gov.uk, via social media and also our Dudley Council smartphone app. There really is no excuse for people fly tipping as our Household Waste Recycling Centre in Stourbridge site is open 7 days a week, 362 days a year. It is also open until 6pm on Thursdays during the summer months for people who work during the day.
A restoration project to transform war graves in Rowley Regis has been given a funding boost after a popular pirate scarecrow event raised hundreds of pounds towards the cause. St Giles' Church hosted a brand new straw-stuffed adventure on the bank holiday Monday, raising an impressive £725, including a generous donation from the Hales Owen and Rowley Rotary Club. The Hawes Lane Church put on a Treasure Island-themed family fun afternoon to help fund the grave at the church graveyard and gardens restoration project, while prizes were also handed out for the best scarecrow. Joyce Walker from the church said, "A fun day was had by all, and for a second year, Enid Hadley won first prize. We also had local schoolgirl Ruby win the children's entry, both people winning £25. The funds raised from the event will go towards the Living Churchyard project, which aims to promote opportunities for the understanding and enjoyment of the wildlife and historical issues in Rowley." Joyce added, "The Rotary donation will enable us to buy period costumes to allow St Giles to commemorate 100 years of the First World War with local schools. Local schools reenacting Rowley villagers' lives. St Giles' research team, headed by Linda Russell, are busy researching some of the families buried in the churchyard from those years, so the children can learn what occupations were here in Rowley at that time and the sacrifice it made in the war."
Perinatal mental health services in the Black Country are set to benefit from more than £1.2 million of national funding. Following three community mental health pilot schemes this year, including one at Russell's Hall, the Black Country and West Birmingham Sustainability and Transformation Partnership has been awarded the money to develop specialist trainings during the next 12 months. The pilot perinatal mental health liaison clinics were set up with the aim of providing better, more timely support and treatment for pregnant women and new mums who suffer from mental health issues, including depression and anxiety. It is anticipated an additional 240 women will benefit from the extra funding. Dr. Varanthi Kennedy of Dudley and Walsall Mental Health Trust will now deliver training and advice to professionals across the region. She said, "Mental health problems can be some of the most debilitating conditions because they impact on the whole person and the friends and family around them. I have enjoyed motherhood, but also experienced how vulnerable a woman can be during pregnancy and following the baby's arrival. The personal and social demands of pregnancy and looking after a new baby can mean women are more at risk, especially if they have a pre-existing mental health condition. I have spent the past 12 months working at the Barbary Mother and Baby Unit in Birmingham, and it has been a pleasure to be able to make a difference to the lives of these women. I look forward to making a bigger impact across the Black Country."
Worshippers at an Upper Gornal church are praying for a miracle after being left facing an impossible repair bill of almost £500,000. Since Peter's Church in Kent Street has fallen into serious deterioration and now faces closure after nearly 180 years of existence. Such is the size of the repair bill that the current congregation cannot afford to pay it. A public meeting has been called for next month to discuss St Peter's future. Team Rector, the Reverend Guy Hewlett, admitted the situation felt impossible. He said, "It's not a good position. The news is likely to come as a shock to many locally, and the church community is incredibly sad to be faced with this." The public meeting will give people the opportunity to hear what is happening to the church and the prospects for the future. "We hope as many people as possible will be able to come along. I realise that some people in Lower Gornal will be devastated by the news, as the church holds so many memories for them. P- People will have attended baptisms, weddings and funerals over the year at the church, and they will grieve over the situation we now find ourselves in. I've only been in my post for the last 8 months, but this situation has been coming for a period of time. At present, there is no heating in the church, and during the winter, we had to hold worship in the church hall, which is thankfully in better condition. But there are many issues facing the church building relating to the stonework, while the roof also needs replacing. There are further issues which are required to bring the church up to modern standards. At the moment, we have got no toilets in the church, although we do have toilets in the church hall, which may be possibly moving forward. Lots of people feel very connected to St Peter's, which is an active church within the community, and people are very kind-hearted and want to give. But a few pounds here and there isn't going to resolve the situation we find ourselves in. We've looked at the possibility of obtaining grants, but we're not nationally listed with English Heritage. So the grants we would be eligible for are small, and it wouldn't solve the situation. It is such a huge sum of money that is required, and it is important that the community need to know the position we're in. The public meeting will take place in the church hall on Saturday, June the 9th, starting at noon, when all are welcome to attend. In addition to staging weddings, baptisms and funerals, St Peter's is also home to a number of uniform groups, while social events take place in the church hall. But if the decision is made to close the church, the local clergy team have vowed to continue ministering within the community in some form.
Walkers from across the country braved the heat over the weekend and took part in the annual Dudley Trail. On Sunday, nearly 1,600 people trekked the five routes of 6, 9, 12, 20 and 28 miles for the 38th annual event. Despite temperatures hitting 24 degrees, people of all ages took part, gathering at the start line at Dudley Leisure Centre. Those who completed the route were rewarded with a certificate of achievement. This year also saw the introduction of a photo competition for both under 14s and adults, with a chance to win tickets to Himley Bonfire. Images will be judged by the Dudley Mayor next week. The Mayor of Dudley, Councillor Dave Tyler, said, "What a fantastic day. The weather was perfect and everyone came ready to take on their particular challenge, either a personal goal or raising money for charity. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who came and supported the event. In particular, I would like to say thank you to the Dudley Ramblers, the Starbridge Rambling Group and also Action Heart for their help throughout the weekend." For more information on how to enter the photo competition before the deadline on Monday, visit www.himleyhallandpark.co.uk/Dudley Trail.
Staff at a Black Country law firm have pledged their support to help Birmingham Children's Hospital carry out its life-saving care with an initial £10,000 donation. Stourbridge-based Talbot's Law has named the UK's leading specialist paediatric centre as its Charity of the Year, offering financial support to the hospital to help it deliver treatments, complex surgical procedures and cutting-edge research to young people up to the age of 16. Employees from across the company's seven offices, including Dudley, Hailsown and Kidderminster, were invited to nominate their preferred good causes, and following much deliberation, the three most popular choices were put forward for a final vote that was made at the business annual party. Mary Mocklow, Chief Executive of Talbot's Law, said there was a lot of personal stories of families and friends that have been helped and supported by Birmingham Children's Hospital, so the decision was a comprehensive one in the end. "We always kickstart the year of fundraising by donating an initial sum, and then we hope to carry on this through a host of different activities that will be organised by the firm and our employees. The emphasis is on getting as many people involved as possible. Ian Bond and I visited Eloise Davidson and Paul Moore at Birmingham Children's Hospital Charity to present the cheque and to find out a little bit more about the amazing care they provide every day of the week, every week of the year. Birmingham's Children's Hospital, which was rated as outstanding by the CQC in February 2017, looks after 90,000 children and young people from across the country each year. It operates a national liver and small bowel transplant centre and is a global centre of excellence for complex heart conditions, the treatment of burns, cancer, liver and kidney disease. Talbot staff have already taken part in the Big Bandage Day and are looking forward to embarking on a London to Paris bike trip and a daunting Snowdon challenge. Eloise Davidson, Corporate Fundraiser Manager at Birmingham's Children's Hospital Charity, said, "We are truly thankful for all the hard work Talbot's Law has put into raising such a fantastic amount of money for our patients. The funds they have raised will go a long way to making a huge difference to the lives of our brave children and their families as we continue our plans to improve our facilities, enabling us to treat even more children from Birmingham, the West Midlands and around the country." And with that final news item, we'll make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Sue.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Phil.